This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel, and in this segment of the program, we talk politics with our two guest political observers, columnists David Brooks of The New York Times and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post. Welcome to both of you once again.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
E.J. joining us from Seattle. Both of you are on book tours, David for On Paradise Drive and E.J. for Stand Up, Fight Back. And I wondered if you'd run across a rookie political author who's also on tour. This is from the audio version of his book.
Our job is to live as well and as long as we can, and to help others to do the same. What happens after that and how we're viewed by others is beyond our control. The river of time carries us all away. All we have is the moment. Whether I had made the most of mine was for others to judge.
That's, of course, from Bill Clinton's memoir, which hit the bookstores and every other medium imaginable this past week. David Brooks, what do you make of the return of Bill Clinton to the national stage?
I thought those lines around the bookstores were for me. No, I guess not.
I think you both got better reviews, actually.
No, that's for sure. I guess I'm struck by, you know, you only get one chance to write a memoir. Your legacy is so tremendously important to you. Take some time to do it. You know, I looked through the book, and it's clearly the work of a very smart person who just figured he could just spew it out, and it would be so wonderful that people would love it. And the fact is, you just can't spew it out. Writing and politics are different skills. Politics requires loyalty, and that's a good virtue. But writing requires honesty, and sometimes that's disloyalty. And he didn't take the time to really be honest about stuff. He just spewed it out, and the book just doesn't hold up that way.
EJ?
Well, I haven't had a chance to read the book yet. It would lug a little heavy in the bag on the book tour. I must say the outpouring for him is extraordinary. I was on my way to a bookstore last night in Marin County in California. I was running late, and I called the bookstore, and they said, because of the high level of interest in, and I was all excited, maybe there were a lot of people going to be at the bookstore, and then they went on to say, in Bill Clinton's visit. And a lot of people did show up, but these bookstore owners are just being mobbed, and they don't have enough tickets to give away. And I think what it does suggest is whatever the merits of the book, there still is a very substantial Bill Clinton constituency out there. It's astonishing to see all over the country.
Back to present-day presidential politics now, and George W. Bush versus still the presumptive opponent, John Kerry. A lot of polls have come out over the past week. And most of them seem to show the country's still rather evenly divided. Is that what you're seeing, David?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in this ebb and flow. You know, everything changes in America except the election results. And the polls have been amazingly constant, basically a tied country now, a tied country before September 11th. That's one of the amazing things is we're supposed to have a lot of people who are independents who are sort of swishing around in the middle, but they don't move. So that makes me think there really aren't that many independents because they would move. We had, you know, really George Bush has had about as bad a year as you can imagine. And he's still somewhere in the mid-40s, upper 40s in approval and V. Kerry. So the electorate is just locked in.
I actually view the polls quite differently. If you look at what's happened to Bush's numbers over the last 6 months, there has been a very sharp decline. And the decline has come, and I think this is important, in the middle of the electorate. He had already lost the liberals and Democrats. He has really lost a lot of ground among independents, and he's having a great deal of trouble securing moderate Republicans. It's very hard to find anybody, or at least it has been for me, to find anybody who's switching away from the Democrats. But I run into independents and moderate Republicans who are very uneasy with the trajectory of the Iraq war, who were uneasy about it in the first place, supported it because the president said it was necessary, and are now having great doubts about the way it was handled.
David, do you find any people who've moved from the Democratic side to the Republican side?
No, not really. On the other hand, when I look at the poll results, I see 49%. I think if you average all the recent polls together, you get 48.9% approval. You get a tied electorate with Kerry v. Bush. I think what you're seeing, and I found this often with Republicans, is that because of what's happened in Iraq and the mismanagement there, there's been a loss of support, especially among rural areas where a disproportionate number of our soldiers and Marines are coming from, loss of faith in the Bush administration. Nonetheless, when you force them to vote or ask them who they would support in an election, they still are not going to vote for John Kerry. The question will be whether they show up at the polls. But to me, the amazing thing is we've had this horrible year for Bush. He's still even. That boggles the mind, really.
EJ?
I think it's first of all, the last week you've actually seen the polls drifting to Kerry, number one. Number two, you can turn it around completely and say Kerry is still an unknown quantity to an awful lot of Americans. And the fact that he is apparently ahead of Bush in some polls or even in others suggests a real danger for the president. An incumbent doesn't want to be where George Bush is now because the history is if presidents are this low now, they don't usually win the election.
One of the questions for Senator John Kerry in the coming weeks is whom to pick for a running mate. And the folks named most frequently as being in the running are former House Democratic leader Dick Gephardt and North Carolina Senator John Edwards. Also, there's been mention of Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack. Thoughts about what you think would be the wisest choice for John Kerry to make?
When presidential candidates often ask me advice on who they should pick, one of the things I always tell them almost every time is that don't worry about the campaign, worry about governing. Mm-hmm. Because the vice presidential candidate really doesn't help you pick up any states, but having a vice president who can help you govern can be really, really useful. And from that point of view, I happen to think John Edwards is a great guy and would be a very strong candidate, a good help to the ticket. But one thing Kerry actually lacks is the knowledge of the machinery of Congress, which is ironic because he's been in Congress for 18 years. But he lacks the knowledge of how to pass bills. That's something actually Dick Gephardt does know a lot about. And from actually governing, I think Gephardt would be quite a plus, though Edwards would be a far bigger plus on the campaign trail, obviously.
It's kind of the JFK picking Lyndon Johnson model you're going with here. EJ, what do you think of that?
Well, I think the first rule is vice presidents usually don't make that much difference and sometimes often cause you more problems than help you. Lyndon Johnson was the only person recently who really carried a state for the head of the ticket. But I think that Kerry could use Edwards as a very powerful voice who had a theme that united Democrats wandering around. I've sensed an awful lot of sentiment among activist Democrats for Edwards. David's right. Dick Gephardt. A very decent man and a very experienced man. If I read between the lines, and no one really knows what Kerry is going to do, my phone hasn't rung yet to ask for advice, it seems to be drifting toward Edwards.
E.J. Dionne and David Brooks, thanks a lot for talking with us once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Georgetown University, and David Brooks of The New York Times.